Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. This is Carl Schinneman, Director of Legal Analytics and Review at Juranov, and welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, where we offer information from national speakers on electronic discovery at a price everyone can afford, which is free, and available whenever they're interested in listening to it, be that on their iPod or iPad or any MP3 player, or just on your computer. Today we have a real interesting show because it introduces a new and innovative program to deal with e-discovery disputes up front, and happy to say it was created in my backyard in western Pennsylvania. Having lived here in Pittsburgh now for over 20 years, I might add I'm not surprised that this type of program has occurred here. This region's lawyers do an excellent job of working together to promote solving problems, as is evidenced by the fact that we host the largest bench bar conference in the country, which has occurred for about 50 years and is sponsored by the Allegheny County Bar Association, where lawyers and judges spend a weekend together at a local resort and attend educational and social events together. The special master program, which we're going to talk about today, strikes me as another example of a common sense approach to helping parties work through electronic discovery issues by accessing intermediaries who can help them or force them to find a workable solution. I might also add I did a show last year with Jonathan Redgrave, who wrote a law review article with Judge Shinlin on the utility of using special masters in e-discovery disputes, and we covered in detail how special masters work. One of our questions on that show, as I recall, was, while this sounds helpful, where do you find a special master? Can you go to the yellow pages and look them up? And the answer was unfortunately no, so I guess this program addresses that weakness to some extent. So let's talk a little bit about this program. First, let me introduce the panelists. We have the Honorable Joy Flowers Conti, who's a federal district judge for the Western District of Pennsylvania. Prior to her appointment, she was a shareholder with the Pittsburgh office of Buchanan Ingersoll Professional Corporation, now Buchanan Ingersoll Rooney. And prior to joining Buchanan, she was a partner with Kirkpatrick, Clark, Johnson, and Hutchinson, which is now K&L Gates. She co-authored two articles dealing with e-discovery and has lectured at seminars on e-discovery all over the country. Judge Conti is a former president of the Allegheny County Bar Association. She's listed in Who's Who in America and Who's Who in American Law, and while practicing law was listed in the Best Lawyers in America. She's a member of the prestigious American Law Institute and the American College of Bankruptcy. She also was a governor-at-large of the Pennsylvania Bar Association, was the chair of the PBA's business law section, and received the PBA's 1995 Annex Alpern Award, which annually recognizes one outstanding woman lawyer. Judge Conti is a member of the Judicial Conference Committee in the administration of the bankruptcy system, and she's in the liaison from that committee to the Bankruptcy Rules Committee, and is a member of the Long Range Planning Subcommittee and the Forms Modernization Project. She serves as the chair of the Local Rules Committee for the United States District Court for the Western District of Pennsylvania. Judge Conti received the American Inns of Court 2009 Professionalism Award for the Third Circuit. She was also the 100th judge in the country to sign the Sedona Conference's Cooperation Proclamation, which we celebrated on a past ESI Bytes podcast. We also have the Honorable Nora Berry Fisher, who's a federal district judge for the Western District of Pennsylvania, too. Prior to her appointment, she was in private practice in Pennsylvania and West Virginia for 30 years. In 1977, she became the first woman associate at Meyer Dare Buckler Bebenek & Eck, an insurance defense litigation firm. In 1980, she was named its first woman junior partner, and in 1982, its first woman senior partner. In 1992, she joined the firm of Petragala, Bosick & Gordon as an equity partner. She served the firm as an administrative partner and as a practice group leader. Her practice at both Meyer Dare and Petragala, Bosick & Gordon was litigation-based. She handled product liability, toxic tort insurance coverage, and bad faith, as well as municipal liability and civil rights litigation. In addition, Judge Fisher's private practice included ADR. She's a trained mediator and an arbitrator. Prior to assuming the bench, Judge Fisher also served as a Dalcon Shield referee, a special master in the Court of Common Pleas of Allegheny County, and as an adjunct settlement judge and arbitrator for the United States District Court for the Western District of Pennsylvania. As a member of the West Virginia Bar, she also handled mediations on referral in addition to handling mediations by private appointments in both Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Judge Fisher was named the recipient of the 2006 Professionalism Award by the Civil Litigation Section of the Allegheny County Bar Association for faithful adherence to the highest standards of legal professionalism. In 2004, the Pennsylvania Bar Association honored her for her work as a co-chair of the Task Force on Healthcare Delivery in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. She was also honored by the PBA as the recipient of the 2001 Ann X. Alpern Award given by its Commission on Women in the Profession. Judge Fisher's a fellow of the American College of Trial Lawyers. She's a past president of the Academy of Trial Lawyers of Allegheny County. Judge Fisher was appointed to the bench by President Bush on April 7, 2007, and has been a member of the court's ADR committee for the past 3 years. Our last guest is David Cohen, who's a partner in K&L Gates, where he co-chairs the firm's e-discovery analysis and technology, EDAC Group. Dave has over 25 years of commercial litigation experience in a variety of subject matters. He joined the firm in 1983 and has authored numerous legal publications and is a frequent presenter at continuing legal education seminars regarding e-discovery technology and litigation tactics. In 2008, he was honored with an ESI Technology Champion Award at the Vestige Annual e-discovery Awards Gala. So thank you, all of you, for joining us. And now why don't we start the program on the special master's program being offered in the Western District of Pennsylvania. And before we start, first Judge Fisher, then Judge Conte, and last Dave Cohen, how did each of you get interested in electronic discovery?
Well, Carl, this is Judge Fisher speaking. My first real foray into this arena actually was in private practice, wherein I was representing a large Fortune 500 company that was the target defendant in a series of lawsuits that, frankly, were all brought here in the Western District. And those cases opened my eyes wide to the problems of e-discovery, because we were dealing with a period of discovery that went back in time. We were dealing with multiple entities related to the corporation and, in addition, various types of technology. So that got me thinking, if you will, about the whole process and sparked my initial interest because of all of the work that we had to do in that case, the coordination that had to go on in-house and outside counsel, the fact that, in fact, in that case, we had to hire consultants to help us to retrieve documents, and then how we managed all of that documentation and then ultimately produced it to plaintiff's counsel. So that was my initial spark. And, of course, joining the bench here and being involved the last 3 years on our ADR committee, I've seen my colleagues such as Joy and another, Art Schwab, employ a special masters in this arena, and I think all for the good.
And how about you, Judge Conte?
I got involved with this when I came on the bench. I would say about 4 years ago, I started to see problems with respect to discovery involving the electronically stored information. And when that happened, it was a difficult process for me as a judge who had no background in the technologies that were involved. Because of that, talking to the parties, I determined that it would be appropriate to have in certain cases where there was a real dispute between the parties to bring in a special master in order to get better decision-making with respect to these types of issues. And because of that, I saw in several cases the need to appoint the special master, and have worked with the special masters on a variety of issues concerning electronic discovery. And then as the chair of the local rules committee, we had a special project to redo our local rules dealing with electronic discovery. We had excellent lawyers from our area here who have been involved in the Sedona project, and they brought back very good ideas, and we developed a new local rule specifically addressing electronic discovery issues. And so really those working with the local rules and then in the case management, having to resolve these issues, either myself or utilizing special master appointments to assist me.
Okay, and Dave, how about yourself? How did you get interested in the field?
Somewhat similar to Judge Fisher's answer, I can actually date back my first involvement more than 20 years when I was a young associate assigned to some complex litigation matters with millions of hard copy documents, and we had to figure out how to manage them, and we started coding them and using computer databases and so on, what we used to call automated litigation support. And as we moved into the electronic age with email and electronic documents, that automated litigation support led naturally into e-discovery. And so about 6 years ago, I helped to found our e-discovery group at K&L Gates, and I've never looked back since then.
So jumping into the special master areas, Judge Conte, why did the Western District Pennsylvania decide to develop this special master program?
From the experiences that I was having with cases where electronic discovery disputes were occurring, I had started, as I mentioned earlier, to employ special masters. And because of that, I saw through our ADR committee that they had developed a listing of qualified mediators. I asked Judge Schwab, who was the then head of our ADR committee, and mentioned it to Judge Norberry Fisher as well, about the helpfulness that we could have here in the Western District if we had a similar listing for qualified individuals who would be able to function as special masters to resolve these electronic discovery disputes. And Nora picked up the ball on that and chaired our subcommittee to develop this program. I recently was reassigned from chair of the local rules committee to being the chair of the ADR committee, and in that new role, I am helping to oversee the implementation of the program. But it really is the workhorse of the subcommittee. It's the work that all the members of that subcommittee, which is headed by Judge Fisher, that we can attribute the program to. And I'm very hopeful that this program is going to help us here in the Western District and perhaps serve as a framework for other courts to utilize in going forward.
Judge Fisher, since you're heading the subcommittee, what would you see as the goal of the Special Master Program?
Well, I see various goals. Number one, I think it will certainly assist litigants, counsel, and the court. And to that end, as Judge Conte reflected on a minute ago, a number of us judges perhaps are not as familiar with the technology as we should be. In addition to that, the technology continues to evolve. And sometimes, as in my private practice experience, and I'm sure that Dave also experienced, you can have multiple technologies in a case. So a special master, I think, can help educate not only the litigants and counsel as well as the court, but also they can provide special expertise that might not be available to us otherwise within the framework of the case. The other thing, and Judge Conte and I have talked about this, that we're hoping that people would engage this kind of expertise early in the litigation process so that when they sit down and they initially meet and confer in preparation for their initial case management conference, they try to streamline what it is that they're going to be looking for in terms of e-discovery, and hopefully that'll be ultimately more efficient and cost-saving. So we have those larger goals in mind. We also decided early on in our structuring of this that we wanted to open, if you will, the marketplace, because each of us individually, maybe because of private practice or prior experience as a judge, may have come into contact with certain people who are holding themselves out as expert in the field of mediation and technology. But we understand that in our bar and beyond our bar, there are lots of folks out there that have the necessary skill set. So we are also making this market-driven, and so we're opening it up to the bar at large to make application. And before I got on today's podcast, I actually checked our website, and to date, we already have 7 applications pending for appointments as a special master. So we're hoping this is going to be a benefit, too, to the bar as a whole.
Great. Now, Dave, you've helped on the subcommittee, as we mentioned, this is one of the first programs to be offered like this in the country. Where did you and the rest of the subcommittee look to for guidance in putting this type of a program together?
Well, Carl, first of all, I think the judges that put together the subcommittee did a good job finding expertise. First of all, we have several of our judges, including those on this call, are very knowledgeable themselves about e-discovery, have become very knowledgeable, and in fact speak nationally on these issues and talk to other judges about these issues. And they put together a subcommittee that included folks from the vendor community and knowledgeable members of the private bar. So we had some good expertise in the room and did bring in some materials from other places. There is a program in Florida. We looked at what their program looked like and what their criteria were for special masters. We had some materials from the Sedona Conference, which has great resources, as you know, and some materials from the Seventh Circuit pilot program. And between that and the experts that we had on the subcommittee, we felt we were able to do a nice job designing this. But, of course, it remains to be seen, but we're optimistic that it's going to work very well. And certainly we're happy to share what we've done with anyone else who's looking to do something similar in another jurisdiction.
So, Judge Conte, from when you started this to now implementation, how long did it take to design the program?
Approximately a year and a half.
Okay. And mechanically, Judge Fisher, how does this program work?
Well, once the subcommittee reported to the larger ADR committee and that committee accepted this recommendation, then Judge Schwab is the then head of the ADR committee, and I took it to our board of judges with the imprimatur of Judge Conte as the incoming ADR chair. And our board of judges enthusiastically accepted this program, and our chief judge, Gary Lancaster, then entered an administrative order setting up the program. Secondly, what we did was an email blast through our CMECF filing system to all registered users, and I understand that's over 13,000 folks, telling them, number one, about the beginnings of the program and providing them information so that they could apply online. And as I mentioned, that application period is now open, and to date we've received 17 applications, and the system seems to be working very well. I know I was able to open a number of the applications this morning. They seem to be appropriately filled out and providing us with the information we need about the general background of the individual, their specialized training and experience, whether they've engaged in e-discovery practice, whether they've written in the field, excuse me, other credentials they might want to put forth. They can also tie us into their firm's website, and they can also comment on what else they might have to offer. For example, Mr. Cohen mentioned that he's part of a larger practice group. So given a certain magnitude of a case, you may want to hire somebody with Mr. Cohen's expertise, because not only can you draw on what he offers, but what his firm and their practice group offers. We are going to be developing, if you will, some bullet points or practice points for litigants and for the court. We're going to be working with our subcommittee to draft some proposed orders that will be available on our firm's website and also be available to our judges. Judge Conte, for one, has issued some orders in this arena. In fact, I think she's been referred to by Judge Shindlin in one of her articles. And to that end, we expect we'll have some proposed orders to make the process a little bit easier. The last thing that we contemplate is periodic training. The special masters themselves, much like our mediators, We'll go through some basic training here in our courthouse. We're going to have two sessions, and it's about 4 hours of training and offered by a well-regarded vendor in this area. And the judges themselves and their law clerks will get a shortened version of this training. And we would expect over time that we will periodically update not only the panel of special masters, but also the judges and their clerks, so that we keep abreast of the developments, not only legally, but technologically.
So, Dave, what types of situations call for a special master to be used in e-discovery matters?
I think it's going to be very useful in a number of situations, some obvious and some perhaps less obvious. First of all, in a situation where the lawyers on each side might not be too experienced or sophisticated yet about e-discovery, and yet they find themselves in a case with a lot of e-discovery, the special masters can help them address the issues that need to be addressed in an efficient, cost-effective way. Likewise, even when you have knowledgeable people on each side, there's sometimes the potential for disputes that the special masters can mediate or help to resolve. Sometimes that could involve in-camera review of documents and other search results and that type of thing. But I think there will also be potential to use special masters even in situations where you've got very knowledgeable counsel and they're cooperating well. Simply because it's nice to have somebody involved who is not partisan on either side, who can be trusted by both sides and perhaps can help both sides save money by doing certain things jointly, whether it be cooperative, paying one vendor to do document review or coding rather than two, cooperating and setting up a document repository rather than having separate document repositories. So I think there's all kinds of potential ways that the special masters can help smooth along the e-discovery process and save money for litigants.
Well, you answered part of the next question I was going to direct to Judge Conte, and does this in theory add additional cost to a case because you've got someone else being paid? What are your thoughts on that, Judge Conte? And Dave, if you want to add to that, you certainly could.
I would echo the comments that Dave has already made, and I would say that when you look at it at first blush, you would say, oh, yes, there's an incremental cost because the special master needs to be paid and the parties have to bear the brunt of that cost. But on the other hand, I think a special master, if the special master recommends a certain technology to be used that really hasn't been utilized previously, that special master can make that recommendation to the court, and if the court accepts that, then the parties will have comfort that they can use a cost-effective methodology and technology that may not have been utilized before. And this is such cutting-edge area where there's developments changing all the time. I think that'll be a very big benefit going forward in cost savings.
Boy, what a fantastic answer. You participated in that training session I did up in the Southern District. And that's the number one question that everyone has. We want to do it, but is it defensible? Uh-huh. What a way to grease the path getting that issue out of the way. Nice idea. So, and Dave, I didn't know if you wanted to add to that outstanding answer.
Yeah, no, I don't think I could make it any better. I'll just say that I've seen cases with lots of e-discovery where everything's moved cooperatively, smoothly, and effectively. I've seen cases with equal amounts of e-discovery where it has become a huge focus of contentious fighting and a money pit where lots of money is wasted. And I think that more often it's going to be the former if you have a special master helping to guide the process. I think it really depends on cooperation and trust, and I think that special masters can help foster that kind of environment, and really I'll be surprised if in most cases the special masters don't far more than pay for themselves in terms of efficiency, cost savings, and moving the process along.
Judge Fisher, what do you see as sort of the ideal result you'd want to have occur if you brought a special master into, say, one of your cases? Does this free up your time a little bit, or what do you see from the bench?
Thank you, Carl. I would certainly feel that this would obviously free up some of my time and my law clerk's time. And I think one thing that should be noted here, unlike some courts across the country, our district court is set up in such a way that our magistrate judges are on the wheel and accept assignments directly as well as on referral. And to that end, I know a number of courts are set up that any and all discovery disputes go to magistrate judges. But here, whether it's a magistrate judge or a district judge, we tend to handle our own discovery disputes. And so certainly, I think it would free up some time. I would also think that a special master with the correct expertise would be able to cut through some of the issues. And as Joy and Carl have indicated, ultimately result in cost savings. What I would look for is prompt turnaround. I think the parties would also be looking for that. And I would presume that they would be reporting back to me on an R&R basis. And then if someone had an objection, they'd have an opportunity to object. And then I would make whatever rulings. But having that additional assistance, if you will, I think would make cases, particularly those cases that are very document intensive, move along more quickly. And of course, that would be the commercial disputes and the intellectual property disputes, particularly patent cases, where I think more than in some other cases, you know, time might be of the essence. As I often say, cases are not like wine. They generally do not get better with time.
So Dave, looking out at the pool, we've already got 17 people, I guess, that have applied. Where do you think qualified special masters come from, and what do you believe they look like?
Well, that was a major topic of conversation among our subcommittee. What criteria should we set? Should we have, you know, minimum standards? And the judges and the local bar and vendors all participated in that. And what we came up with was four particular areas that we thought were necessary qualifications for special masters. Number one, they needed to be members of the bar, lawyers, with legal experience, because legal issues will sometimes be involved, and often be involved, and they'll need to be able to address those legal issues. Secondly, a certain level of computer and technology knowledge. So when people start throwing around all the different e-discovery terms of, you know, gigabytes and ESI and TIFFing and all those other things, they'll be able to help explain that and help everyone understand what that means, and perhaps know how many documents are on a terabyte, et cetera, et cetera. The third qualification was specific e-discovery knowledge, and we're looking for people who have e-discovery experience, who've been involved in one capacity or another in the most common kinds of e-discovery disputes, and so they're familiar with ways that these e-discovery issues can be resolved, et cetera. And then the fourth criteria was mediation experience, recognizing that there are people who are very highly knowledgeable about the technical aspects and the law and e-discovery, but maybe don't have the skills or experience to be effective mediators. And so we're looking for some mediation experience or the like. And so we don't have any set minimum criteria in terms of, other than that you have to be a member of the bar, in terms of something being a complete disqualifier, but we're asking for people to apply who have some experience in each of those four areas, some qualifications in each of those four areas. And then based on what we get in terms of applications, the judges and others will decide who they might want to appoint to particular cases, and parties may have some say in that as well.
Do you, and I'll just throw this out to everyone, do you have to have all four, or can you have a steep background in a particular area and a willingness to learn the other areas, or how does that work?
This is Judge Conte. We are going to have the training here. We have opportunities locally to train. We have a Friends of eDiscovery group locally that meets periodically throughout the year. It's a wonderful way for people on an informal basis to exchange ideas and raise concerns. So I think there's going to be lots of opportunities for training, but there is going to have to be a level of experience that is required in order for the special master to have the credibility to function.
Okay. And do you see this as just being mostly local people, or do you expect some national people to be applying as well?
Well, we're certainly going to be open to have anyone nationally who wants to put in an application. There's no restriction that's been built into our program to limit who would be able to be a special master. Some cases would benefit from someone with a national reputation to facilitate the decisions and to work with the parties. So I think we're certainly going to be receptive to having a robust list of special masters, but we do have a lot of very good people here locally, so I would assume that in most instances that people who practice here locally who have the expertise will be known to the people and they would be utilized, but there will be those cases where someone with a national reputation would be helpful in resolving the issues that are presented.
And Judge Fisher, in fact, I already got a request for information about this program. Someone who heads the e-discovery committee for the D.C. Bar said, hey, Carl, do you know anything about this program? It looks really interesting. So my sense is you're going to have courts around the country contacting you for advice. Who should they contact if they have questions, and have you heard any inquiries thus far?
Well, to the second question first, interesting that you would say, because our Chief Judge's Deputy, Mike Pallas, who serves on our ADR committee, has already received a number of calls, both from practitioners as well as in-house counsel about the program, and he's directed some of those inquiries to me and to our subcommittee. One of those inquiries was, is it going to be open to members of the bar beyond those who are members of the Western District? And it appears that that's going to be the way we're going to go, as we went that way with our mediators and our arbitrators. And in addition to that, as Joy pointed out, there are certain practices, particularly the patent litigation practice, that are national in scope. And so there may be reasons why the parties and their counsel want to bring someone from outside of our jurisdiction in as special master, because they're conversant with the technology, they've worked with the particular litigants before, they've worked with counsel before, and whatnot. So we've had those kinds of questions. Relative to who should you contact, our court is fortunate that we have an ADR coordinator, Karen Engro, E-N-G-R-O, who works out of our clerk's office for technical issues. Robert Barth, our clerk of court, and his deputy, Colleen Williston, are happy to assist other courts as to how we went about this. And certainly, as the chair of the subcommittee, I've been intimately involved in putting this program again together. I'm happy to answer inquiries. And I would presume, too, Judge Conte would be. In fact, Judge Conte and I, as well as a number of our other colleagues, regularly speak here on e-discovery issues, providing the bar updates. Quarterly, we speak for the Federal Bar Association on e-discovery issues. So I think that there is a panoply of people here available to answer questions and point you in the right direction as to how we develop the program.
And sort of a follow-up on this one, we talked a little bit before the show, since you're chairing the subcommittee, Judge Fisher, do you envision any sort of metrics being devised to determine if this is a success or what needs to be improved?
Well, one of the things that we've found very helpful to us in our mediation and arbitration practice is to confidentially survey the parties and counsel after they have gone through either a mediation or an arbitration or an early neutral evaluation. And we generally get a pretty good response. Those confidential survey responses are read and reviewed by Karen Engro and Bob Barth. Then periodically they give us a report at the board of judge level so we get some feedback. The other thing that we do periodically is, in effect, have town hall meetings with our neutrals so that they can advise us of what some of the issues are, what some of the problems are, and we've been able to work through issues, you know, by having those kinds of meetings. And I would presume we're going to be doing the same with our special masters in this arena of e-discovery.
Well, great. I'll look forward to doing another show on this topic with maybe with all three of you in the future if you're up for it, to just report back to everyone on how this is working. But I think this is outstanding, and I just want to thank each of you, Judge Conte, Judge Fisher, and Dave Cohen, for joining us on another ESI Bytes show. It's always a pleasure to have you share your knowledge with us and our listeners, and hopefully we'll be able to do some more shows with you later this year. And to the listeners, if you've enjoyed the show, I'd encourage you to go to www.esibytes.com for a complete list of our show. That's ESI Bytes. It sounds out like Easy Bytes, if you want to remember it that way. But however you choose to remember us, come to ESI Bytes to learn more about e-discovery before ESI bites you back. This is Carl Schinneman, Director of Legal Analytics and Review from Juranov, wishing you a nice day.